All right, we'll get to the word here. Before we do a few announcements here, remember, prayer every night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Monday through Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That number is 641-715-3670. 641-715-3670. Access code is 409-367. So that's prayer every night, Monday through Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That number is 641-715-3670. Access code 409-367. Also remember, Dunamis Tabernacle still attempting to get this base camp raised up. $800,000 sounds so cotton picking, pitiful, and I hate to even bring it up over and over again. But we need $800,000 to buy this facility debt-free and to remodel it. We can bring it up to snuff and bring it up to standard. Might have to replace some HVAC units and some lighting units and stuff like that, hopefully moving toward paving that parking lot again and getting it up to speed. But it seats about 550 people. It's a good jumping-off place for a base camp with enough land to actually expand the facilities to accommodate about 1,500 people if we need to, when we need to, because the folks will be taught to be harvesters, folk that go out and save folk. We ain't interested in nobody sitting around in no stinking church in theater-style seating, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What good is that? A bunch of boneheads sitting around just reading scriptures and talking about the Bible, and we've had 50 years of that. Going to church like you're going to a Las Vegas show and sitting around just spinning mud, tires spinning mud, and just doing nothing, no traction, just going to church over and over again. Where are the born-again people? Where is the power of God? Where are the fruit and gifts of the Spirit? Where is the life of God on display? He's got to have some folk totally separated from this world for real, who have come up under the proper alignment to do the job, and Dunamis Tabernacle is designed to do that. With the proper eldership in place as a foundation, deacons in place as servants like they're supposed to be in the church, and the people being taught the engrafted word to change them into vessels that are fit for the master to use, who have become selfless enough to go and do the job themselves. Remember, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are not called to start reality shows on TV. You know how you get Preachers of L.A. and the prophetesses and all this stupid junk? How in the world can you get the fivefold ministry gifts to become reality show stars? The devil's laughing himself silly over this. The apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are given to perfect the saints, and the saints go do the work of the ministry. Everybody is a minister in God's economy. There's no such thing as a professional ministry. Everybody in the church is a minister, a servant of God, full of the Holy Ghost, called to do the job.
Thanks, wife.
Y'all remember that guy said that in that movie? What was that movie said? Wife? What was that? Joseph? Oh, that was Pharaoh who said that. I better not be talking like Pharaoh.
Well said, wife. That's what he said, I think. Oh, that coat got a little lime in it, too.
So that's what we're all about, man, with this base camp. If you're in L.A., or if you're in Detroit, if you're in New York, if you're in Washington, you know, we get more support from people like Warner and Iwanya. They systematically give $75 to $100 a week. I mean, just every week, like clockwork. You depend on something like that. I mean, they weigh in Chicago or somewhere. I don't even know where they live at. Missouri, St. Louis. What is it, St. Louis?
Yeah.
But I mean, they dependable, clockwork people. You got people in Texas, dependable. You got people just do what they do. If it's $15 a week, you can make a budget behind these folk. Naomi right here, systematic. Every Thursday morning, it hits the account. Barbara gets $50 a week every Thursday. Automatic deduction, just hit the account. Because I get to read out some stuff. I don't just, you know, call out people based on who gives what. But I'm trying to determine whether or not to launch for real. See, because we can't launch if you don't have a systematic budget that you can put some weight behind, because you got committed, stable, systematic people that think in a clockwork fashion. Folks who helter-skelter, they got no discipline in any facet of their life. They don't eat discipline, they don't work out, they don't discipline themselves at their jobs, they got no discipline about anything. Household budget not disciplined. Don't just helter-skelter living, don't get anything done. You wonder what kind of a life do people live? You know, your life will be reflective of how chaotic your mind is. You don't believe it? Just go look in your car. If your car is nasty and disorganized and stank, that's a reflection of your mind. If your room in your house is nasty, disorganized, and stank, that's a reflection of your mind. Order. The first thing they taught you in the military when I joined was you fold your underwear 6 inches across and 6 inches wide. 6 inches length, 6 inches wide, and they brought a ruler around and measured them. And if it was 6.1 inches, he'd take your whole drawer and dump it on the floor and say, fold it again. And it's hard when you done folded all that stuff, man. And that joker dumps all your stuff on the floor and says, you folded it wrong, fold it again, boy. Your locker, all uniforms had to be arrayed just right, with no lint visible. He found a piece of lint. He took all your clothes and slung them across that barracks and said, boy, I don't like no lint in my stuff. And you know what you're feeling like? I'm gonna kill. I got to kill. I am about to kill. I must kill. I must kill. But what did it teach you? Get your stuff right. When you put your pants on and your shirt, you had to have a gig line. Guys in the military know what I'm talking about. Your shirt seam, where you button your shirt up, had to line up with where your trousers hit in a line. And the belt buckle had to come and be aligned with it. Every had to have a straight line, straight down. Else you get in trouble. Everything in your uniform had to be perfectly placed. Everything had a place that it had to go. It had to be a quarter of an inch on the lapel from the seam on the side of the lapel. A quarter inch, not one iota more. And they had like a coin they could place in between the lapel seam and your insignia. And if it was more than that, you had some... Boy, I think you got to run 2 miles, boy. You got my uniform out of order here. I see you off here with my uniform, boy. Why you got my uniform messed up? I need 2 miles from you, boy. It taught you to think in terms of order, and things go where they go. I always tell my wife, if you don't want to lose anything, get in the habit of putting yourself in the same place all the time. So you don't have to think. I know what my stuff is because I know where I put my stuff. If your mind is chaotic and you got a logical, well-ordered God you're serving, why would he have anything to do with chaotic you? You don't believe it? Go watch. Look at your car right now. Let's look at it. Look what's in it. Cups from 3 years ago and candy bars all under your seat and paper all everywhere and trash everywhere. Look in your drawers at home. And look, just open the drawer and look in it. That's you. That's the real you. Don't just fold your drawers up. You just take your drawers and dump them in the drawer. And just get out the dryer and just dump them in the drawer and just walk off. Yeah, that's good enough. That's a reflection of your whole life when you're raggedy. It's nothing worse than raggedy junk. That's why I'm not going to go out here and try to get anything done without a fighting force aligned and God called them up. Because one thing you learn to hate is raggedy junk, half-done junk. When they built Solomon's temple, they called it the best goldsmith, the best artificers. Everybody was a skilled person. The tradesmen they called up to build that temple, everything was perfectly immaculate. Now watch God. He laid out to the cubit everything he wanted, just like he said. That's how God's mind is. God's mind is so precise, so logical, so analytical, that to walk with God, he don't like junk. Half done stuff. That's what's wrong with church. It's raggedy. You want to have a praise and worship team and musicians, they need to be precision people that are well-ordered and they're not raggedy. Doing everything raggedy, everything out of order, everything raggedy. I don't mention it because you just wait for God to call up these kind of people. You don't want to talk to people about this. It's like dating somebody when you're dating in the world and a woman trying to ask you what you like. I don't like you because you got to ask me what I like. You need to be what I like without me telling you. You ought to have some style, some kind of class, some kind of business about yourself without me having to mold you into what I like. What good is that? Somebody becoming what you want them to be because they have no identity themselves to be anything other than what you said. Well, I want an old Buddhist shaking slut. That's what I want. Well, okay. Betty Boob said, okay, whatever you want me to be. You want me to be that? Okay. That's the kind of moronic trash we got in church. I bring it up. Folk feel funny and start looking all crazy and feel like I'm mad or angry or something because we're so cotton pig and raggedy and we're not used to anybody with authority telling us we're raggedy. The junk don't measure up. That's how it's going down from now on in the body of Christ. If you can't take it, you might as well jump ship right now. Because when God comes through here this time, he's going to have himself as a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. And it's not going to be fabricated around feelings. Because he's got to conduct a warfare against an adversary that's got a hierarchy of demons, fallen angels, and all kinds of spiritual beings that are in battle array ready to destroy everything in sight. And you can't be raggedy when you face off with these boys because they're playing for keeps. When that metaphysical wall comes down, he that letteth will let until he's taken out of the way. When the Holy Ghost is removing that barrier and he lets those metaphysical nightmares come across, you better be sharp as a tack and know your stuff. You can't be stumbling over scripture then, buddy, because they're going to know the Bible better than me and you. Why do you think so many people get drug off into delusions? Because the devil knows the Bible better than they do, and he makes it sound so right and so good. That's why they go for the okey-doke. It's going to be real. We got to establish a base camp for the military members of the body of Christ. This thing is for militant folks that want to fight and will discipline themselves and fine-tune themselves to be able to fight and, if necessary, stand alone, not going with anybody. This is me personally offended by the devil, and I'm making my stand against him. David didn't come with Saul's armor on. I don't want your stuff, man. I'm making my stand against the adversary. An uncircumcised Philistine has come out to address the armies of God, and I'm standing against this boy, with or without you boys. Notice that everybody was offended by that guy and his mindset. I'm standing against this joker. I don't know what y'all going to do. That's how you got to come into this, buddy. Dunamis Tabernacle, support it by way of the internet. www.omegaministries.org. Click on support, then donate. If this scares you, if I sound fanatical or too radical, this ain't for you. Turn off that broadcast and go and tune in to T.D. Jakes or Joel Osteen. All right. Last thing. The conference, Soldiers of Light, May 27th through the 29th here in Atlanta, is all about fabricating this army on a nationwide global basis. Folks come in from the Caribbean. They come in from all over the place to come to these things. We're designing a format to train folks and get them on the same page worldwide. Folks have made friends from where they came from, meeting them at the conference, and now they have fellowship partners in different locations around the country because they met people at the conference. May 27th through the 29th, here in Atlanta, the Soldiers of Light Conference. It's time to raise up some folk that mean business. We can't keep fooling around with Mickey Mouse stuff and a bunch of complaining about everything. God is sick of folk complaining about what's wrong and then won't volunteer to do what's right. I'm telling you, he's looking for a new breed of person now. I'm telling you, the climate around God is changing and his determination is changing. But I'm going with the flow this time. Wherever this river flowed, I'm going with it. I'm getting in the river and going with it. Soldiers of Light Conference, May of next year, which is an hour and a half away. 5 months goes by like 5 days. It'll be May, like tomorrow morning it'll be May. So it's time to get in now. People are registering now. People are getting plane tickets now. Folks are lining up and getting ready to go. You can register right now, www.omegaministries.org. Click on news and conferences and events and register. It's going to change up this year. I'm telling you, we're going into another phase. It's going to drop a lot of folk out of it because you thought that you were free from Jezebel and Ahab, but you're going to find out you weren't. You got any remnants and any vestiges of that sodomite spirit in you, when it's time to confront the king of the sodomites, you ain't going. Because you're a rebel in your heart still. And you won't fight this fight. I'm telling you, you're going to draw back now. You're going to find something that looks good and comfortable to you. And you're going to claim you still got it and we're too radical and ain't no love. But this is a military affair for militant Christians that are going to fight. John the Baptist is the prototype of the forerunner of Christ. Remember, John the Baptist introduced Christ. John the Baptist wasn't like everybody else. While everybody else was kind of soft-shoeing around Herod, he didn't soft-shoe around nobody. He confronted Herod, Jezebel and Ahab, Herod and Herodias. That's what it's coming down to. To introduce Christ, you must confront Jezebel and Ahab. Elijah was a type. To bring the rain back to Israel, you must confront Jezebel and Ahab. You don't confront them, ain't going to be no rain. Ain't going to be no rain. If you don't confront the adversary of God in human form, standing there safeguarding this thing for the devil, there ain't going to be any rain falling here, buddy, because we won't come up against God's enemies. We got to face off with his enemies. Soldiers of Light Conference, May. Register now. www.omegaministries.org. Click on news and then conferences and events, and that'll walk you through the whole process of registration. Hotel registration will also show you how to register at the hotel after you pay the registration fee for the conference. The registration fee of $145 covers all your meals for 3 days and the conference facilities to have the meetings. So all that's incorporated in one fee, and then the daily or nightly fee for the hotel, I think it's $92 this year. Next year, $92 a night. So that's two nights, Friday night and Saturday night, plus your registration fee. Transportation by way of bus, plane, train, walking, hitchhiking, or whatever to get here. And we're up and running. It's time to get the body of Christ to amalgamate and come together on one accord in prayer, in fasting, and seeking God to create a fighting force and a power against the devil that he must respect. The devil does not respect the church. He's got to be made to respect the church. And that's what we're all about, making him have to bow the knee to the power of God in the church when we confront him. All right, that's it for announcements. We'll get into the word here. Man, you got to hate the devil. If you don't hate the devil, you'll never win. You got to hate him because he hates us. So why try to pretend like he's your friend when you know he despises everything about you? All right, we'll pray and get going here. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that's able to save our souls. God, right now in Jesus' name, bring a heavy anointing and a deep consecration upon your people, that we might stand in battle array against your adversaries. It's enough of this play stuff, stomping around trying to pretend to be the church. You got all these Jezebel spirits stomping around in the pulpit. You got a pastor and his wife is the co-pastor, and all this junk put forth is not even in any way representing what the church is outlined to be in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 or Titus. Everything about church looks silly now. And the devil knows it's silly. That's why he doesn't take it seriously. God, I'm believing in these last days you're going to fabricate a people that are going to be adversaries to the devil, who are going to stand on the word of God and not bow in any way, shape, form, or fashion to the pressures of this life that want us to compromise the Bible. The Bible says every jot and every tittle will be fulfilled. Every I is dotted, every T is crossed. And the inner man has to be made over to be disciplined under the yoke of the Holy Ghost to do your will. Everybody in this Bible walked in a discipline under God. They were able to stand in austere conditions before you, God, and win because they had faith in you that was not contingent upon the environment. If the environment was not compatible and suitable to them, they didn't care. They spoke the word with no doubt. They spoke the word with power. They spoke the word under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And we need those kind of people again to be resurrected from the dead, church, to live and have the confidence embedded in them by the Holy Ghost to stand against every adversary. The man comes around, he's put out by the singing of the gospel, singing praise to God. Man, I don't care if you don't like it. We're here to worship God in spirit and in truth while you're looking at some stupid football game. And you want to say the gospel and the worship of God is interrupting your silly football game. You're interrupting the worship of God by coming up here talking to us about it. It's time to make God the primary person and let every man and every devil be a liar. God is true and every man is a liar. It's time, God, once for all, to make a stand for what's right because we stand with the one that is righteous. God, give us some kind of a intestinal fortitude. Return testosterone to a man. A man has been castrated and made so docile that he's got no guts anymore. Good old-fashioned guts can take us a long way. God, return a backbone to the church. Return the guts to a gutted people that we can stand against this invading force and win. They've got our inheritance. It's plain to see that in the promised land, the giants got your stuff. And the giants right now have our stuff. We'll never see God move as long as the devil is camped out with our stuff. It's time to take this stuff by force. The four leprous men said, "Why are we sitting over here? And all the goods and all the stuff, the enemy has it in their camp." And when they got to the camp, they saw the enemies had already been destroyed by God and the spoils were given. While the devil is painting all these illusions of these grandiose powers he has, the victory has already been won and you've already given to us spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And the devil's got our stuff because we don't have the guts to walk with God and take it. It's time to get a different breed of person. It's time to get people who are not challenged and afraid of the world, who don't stand in awe of presidents and congressmen and senators and big mouth preachers and big mouth Jezebel spirits. It's time for folk to know their God and they're able to do exploits because of it. Not bowing down to any of Nebuchadnezzar's images because we believe that God is well able to take this land. And we stand with you against everything that is against you. And then give us that boldness, God, to proclaim this word to set captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The church is dead. If you're going to be used by God, you got to come out of that dead hole of a church. That dead, mortified, stink hole of a church mess that you're in, you better come out of that mess. And I don't make any apologies about it. The junk you're in most cases, listen to me right now by way of the internet, is junk. It's garbage. It's dead. You go there, you sit there, it's not teaching you anything, you're getting nothing from it, you're going through the ritual every week and you know you get nothing from it, but yet you sit there pretending like it's something that it's not. You know they're not saying anything, you know that big mouth lady singing every week with everybody jumping around is not impacting anybody, you know it's all make-believe, the homosexual in the organ, he ain't stirring up no anointing, the goosebumps you feel are from the sodomite spirit that's in you. That's the anointing of the sodomite spirit that's accommodating you. That's why you feel the goosebumps, because you got the same sissy spirit as the sissy on the organ. That's all that is. Deep call up under deep, whether it be right or wrong. If you got an inordinate, filthy spirit yourself, anybody with that same spirit will minister to you. That's what the dead church is all about. It's full of demons. It's warmed over manure. And folk are sitting up there ingesting feces every week and calling it the word of God. That's how pitiful it is. Then when you address it, people who are bound to it, they get offended by it. It's garbage. Because you individually have to be forged into a vessel to do this job yourself. Anybody that's following anybody is already lost. I'm not here to get you to follow me. I'm here to forge you into a vessel to get full of the Holy Ghost so that you can stand alone. Because I could die tomorrow morning, then what would you do? Peter's dead, James is dead, John is dead, everybody's dead. Hey, the church just kept on rolling down the track, buddy. Because we're not based on any one of these guys. I got the Holy Ghost myself. I got the gifts operating in me. You see, every time somebody came along like Stephen and Philip, they had the power. The power didn't show up with anybody. Everybody had the same power. Whenever that power came along, buddy, it got a hold of you. It resurrected Christ in you, and you had that power within you. The Bible says everything works how? According to the power that works within you. That's the only way it works. It's not about being part of a group. You can't join this. You can't affiliate with it. You can't write your name on a roll somewhere and join it. You can shake a preacher's hand. You might as well shake a donkey's tail in a barn. It has no power whatsoever. The doors of the church are open. It's garbage. Most sinners' prayers are garbage. You can say a sinner's prayer, you can get baptized in water and still go to hell. No heart change. When you really get born again, the impact on your spirit is so absolute, it'll knock you across the room. You had that thing inside you stirring up in you, man, it almost drive you to tears. It'll have you crying. You don't know why. You can't sleep sometimes. Sometimes you can't eat. The word of God begins to jump off of the page at you, and it begins to feed you in the inner man till it begins to enthrall you and excite you all by itself, because your spirit has come back alive from the dead. You've been resurrected from the dead. It's a vicious attack on your inner man. People who sit around docile and laid back with their arms folded and cute and smiling about the gospel, they hadn't been born again. When you've really been born again, buddy, that's a rude intrusion into your soul. He resurrects your spirit, but he saves your soul. Remember, the Bible says we believe unto the saving of the soul. It's a soul death that has occurred. Your spirit has not been reborn, and your soul is dying because of it. The ways of sin that you're committing are working death in you, and you're experiencing a soul death. Your soul is slowly dying until you cry out, because you're reaching levels of death whereby you can't stand any longer. I need help because I'm suffocating. I feel myself dying. You're smoking the dope. You're having sex. You're at the club. You're running around drinking liquor. You think another sexual partner is going to please you or appease this thing in you. And you're searching around for some kind of a hope in this life. You're trying to feel something, meet somebody new, go somewhere, take a trip, go on a vacation. Whatever you're doing, it never satisfies you because your soul is dying. Detached from God's spirit, the source of life, your soul begins to die. That's why it says we believe unto the saving of the soul. In your patience, possess ye your soul. Take your soul back from the filthy devil that has control of it. The problem of church folk, their souls are embedded with demons that have had cohabitation in them so long, it's become normal. And what the devil will do if he can't stop you from getting to God, he's going to misdirect you to religion where his demons are still housed, so you'll think that's God, but it ain't. Most folk didn't get saved. They went back to church. A parallel move into an environment that accommodated them. They never were born again. They just went back to their grandmama's church. You're still dead. You're sitting there dead. That's why they drag in hip-hop with them to make them feel stimulated. Don't you know the power of God activating an environment is enough to draw any young person? If you got resurrection power present, if you're seeing signs, wonders, and miracles, you're seeing people raised from the dead, blind eyes opening, people being healed, you're seeing the fabulous works of God taking place, and all these things are blowing up all in front of you, you're seeing all the dynamic power of God on display, you don't need no hip-hop.
That's right.
You don't need no tricks of the trade to draw nobody. But God will draw you all by himself. And as a matter of fact, no man can come to God unless the Spirit first draws him. You can't save nobody on your own. The Spirit got to do the work. You've got to fabricate their salvation before you even open your mouth to them. He'll lead you there to culminate the process, but God has already drawn them.
That's
And he'll lead you to whom? The people that he has already drawn. But if you sit your butt in a church pew, you'll never be on the battlefield to save the ones he's already fabricated to be saved. Because you're sitting around in some stinking dead hellhole of a church. A dead army in a dead church with a world dying in front of us. And God has already drawn them right to the brink of salvation. And we keep our mouths shut because we don't want to displease nobody or feel different or offend nobody. That's gutless, spineless trash is what that is. The Bible calls it forsaking such a great salvation. How can we do despite to the spirit of grace? God is drawing people. Can't you see the world is rotting right in front of you? That's telling you he's drawing the people. When you see the world beginning to depreciate, that means God is drawing people into a hopeless state who are searching. Searching. But you're afraid to say anything and you never culminate the process because you won't say anything. How can they hear without a preacher? How can you preach unless you've been sent? Everybody's a sent one. You've been called and chosen to be sent. The operative command has already been given. Go ye into all the world, proclaim the gospel to every creature. He's already told you what to do. But you sit around, I need deliverance. I need help. My mind is in anguish because I got these bad thoughts. I had a bad dream last night. I must be demon-possessed. You're going to stay demon-possessed too. You got to go with whatever you got and begin to sow what you got. You go forth weeping, doing what? Bearing precious seed. You come back rejoicing with your sheaves with you. You get the harvest from what you sowed. You got to put something out there for God to work with to save you. If you're not sowing into somebody else's life, why would God help you? God is a reciprocal God. Just like he tells us to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, you better do unto God as you would have him do unto you. God wants to save his people. He's got some folks he knows are already saved down here, but he got to have some church folk willing to step out to culminate the process. He is drawing them by his spirit. You can't see it, but he'll lead you to the ones that he's already prepared to receive what you're saying. We're wasting time on family members. He told you a prophet has honor except where? In his own home with his own folk. Right. You might as well stop talking to them.
That's right.
But you're trying to feel good about your grandmama or your mama or your brother getting saved. He didn't send you to them. That's why you got to stay in prayer. You got to stay receptive to the Spirit. You got to know God's voice. He'll lead you and guide you to people he's prepared to be saved. They're everywhere, crying to be saved. The conversation will direct you into what to say. Just when they start talking to you. Yeah. How you doing? I'm not doing too well. Oh, I see you're here's a potential candidate right here. Well, what's wrong? My husband, let me tell you what your problem is. You know, it's the same answer for everybody. You need the Lord. You know, my mama, I was raised in the church. I ain't talking about being raised in your mama's church. I'm talking about needing the Lord. Don't tell me about no church. I don't hear about no preacher. I don't hear about no elder or none of that other junk. You need the Lord. You don't need your mama. You don't need your grandmama. You need no preacher. You need the Lord. You need to be born again. How do you get born again? You repent and turn around away from this trash and turn to the living God for him to re-inspire and breathe the breath of life back into you. The same breath of life that was extracted from Adam and Eve can be breathed back into you again. Don't you see it says he breathed into them what? The breath of life, and they became a living soul. That's the remedy for your dead soul. He's got to resurrect your spirit to breathe life into your soul and refresh you. To bring you back alive again. And then you're going to begin to see the hunger and thirst for God going to come into the new birth when it happens. You're going to need that word because you've been born again. there's a natural drawing, there's a natural inclination to desire the sincere milk of the word when you've really been born again. But this dead, stinking church world is blocking the process by giving people a pseudo presentation of God and Jesus Christ in a false church, and people are going to that filth instead of coming to Jesus Christ, the living stone. And that's where the cholesterol is blocking folk. So God has to have some people that will rise up above this trash with power. You preach the gospel, you got to have attestational signs and wonders following you, but you'll never see them if you never go. The signs and wonders follow you. That means you got to be moving and going. Notice how many people, like dingbats, try to get into church and be ministers. They sitting around waiting for somebody to appoint them and call them up to lead the prayer meeting, to preach a sermon. I'm giving my trial sermon this Sunday. And they send an invitation in the mail and invite you to their trial sermon. Man, about studying that too stupid church junk. It's 500,000 people in this city need to be saved. And you somewhere having a trial sermon. And everything is confined in these little church activities. I'm going to be preaching this week over at the tabernacle. Man, it's all these folk to be saved. You're talking about some stinking tabernacle and preaching in some stinking pulpit. When all these folk are out here dying on the vine and languishing in the field, the fields are white for harvest, and you're trying to get a preacher's license. I come to my ordination service. Look how crazy everything is. Philip, Stephen, these boys got the juice, and he took it to the street, saving everything in sight. The Bible says when Philip was around, great joy was in that city, just from his presence being there. You got to get this thing so deep down into you, man, that church and how you think about church is totally reformatted. Folk really are still trying to become some kind of professional minister in the church. That's their real goal. That's why they sit around brown-nosing preachers all day. Got your nose way up the guys behind. Trying to get some position. You're a clown. Walking around as a cupbearer, bringing this orange juice up to the pulpit. I'm his cupbearer. Then behind you, somebody with a Bible, I'm the armor bearer. And then behind the two people leading in with the cup and the Bible, he comes in looking like a girl, looking crazy, waving like Princess Diana, you know. You've been made into a catamite, sissified sodomite, being sodomized by the preacher, brown-nosing him, trying to get brownie points to get into the pulpit so people can ooh and ah at you up there acting a fool like this clown that raised you up. And they just see you. Nobody respects you because they see you as this boy. Can't you see Creflo Dollar acts just like Kenneth Copeland? Even talk like him. Because he's a clone, a clown clone that bought into a false religious presentation and then forged him into a clone of what made him. It ain't the image of Christ. Now you're a little Kenneth Copeland clone. That's what religion will do to you every time. And people locked up in it, I mention it, it offends them. Because they're in it. They're bound to it. They've got plans to be one of these little old hypocritical prototypes of who raised them up. And they've been brown-nosing the Joker for 5 years, hoping one day he'll let me say something in the pulpit. So I can be noticed and be his girl up here, and Pastor Johnson raised me up, and now I can say some things on Sunday. I'm going to give the announcements. This week, we're going to have a Tom Thumb wedding followed by a fish fry, and potluck dinner is Sunday evening after Sunday service. Y'all come on out, and thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to say something. 500,000 people dying on the vine in the church. All in the church, in the street, all around the neighborhood, everybody half dead. And you trying to work your way to the pulpit to get the approval of Pastor Johnson as his little hypocritical little errand boy. Man, come on. And don't even talk about the women. Lord have mercy. That's how they build churches. Giving preacher licenses to women because they just get overjoyed. Because now I'm somebody. I failed math in high school. I failed in college. I failed my first marriage. I failed my second and third marriage. I failed on my job. I failed everywhere. Now I got to find somewhere to look successful, and I picked out church because I think all these folk dumb. And they just happy. That's why women get so excited, because they finally found somewhere where they could be somebody, having failed everywhere else, and just striving to be over somebody. What you all caught up in trying to be over somebody for? What's wrong with you? There's nobody to be over in God's economy. There's no lords over God's inheritance. But you happy because somebody has signed up on you being a prophetess. And notice how even on Facebook they have to have their title, evangelist, prophetess. Even that little code name on Facebook, prophetess, seer of the great one, one eye of the holy realm of God, Anita Johnson. What kind of crazy fool mess is that? So crazy in religion that you want everybody to believe that you're this thing. You don't find one prophet in the Bible calling himself a prophet, because you ain't got to call nobody no prophet. The apostle said, the sign of an apostle will accompany me. I ain't got to tell y'all nothing. Power going to talk for me, buddy. I got power. When you got revelatory gifts like a teaching gift, you don't have to even try hard, because the gift going to speak for itself. You ain't got to impress nobody. The Bible says your gift will make room for you all by itself. You have to call yourself nothing. You got to print up cards. I'm Evangelist Price from Detroit. How you doing, ma'am? I said E-V-A-N-G-E-L-I-S-T, evangelist. And you address me as such. When you call me evangelist first before you say my last name, or else don't even speak to me. If you can't honor the evangelist, you don't have any right in God's kingdom. And as a matter of fact, you're going to hell unless you call me an evangelist. I had a lot of women pastors. They say, my name is Pastor Mary Kay. I said, no, don't you say a cosmetics? I'm Pastor Mary Kay. I said, hey, how you doing, Miss Kay? I said, Pastor Kay. I heard you say it, Miss Kay. Oh, I see you are rebellious. You are smart aleck dude. So I ain't smart aleck. I believe the Bible. They hate you. Oh, you arrogant. You start calling your names. I'm arrogant and I'm proud, but you don't believe 1 Timothy chapter 3. Pastor got to be the husband of one wife. You don't qualify for that, and so I ain't addressing you as such, because I'll be in rebellion against the word of God if I do. You can't make people bow down to that which God has already rejected in his word. If you do that, you're a compromiser. Call your mama a pastor if you want to. You have compromised the word of God. I don't care what your aunt is or your sister is. When you bow down to it, you just compromise the word of God. We've had people leave here hating what I'm saying and join a church with a woman pastor and say, Price, a liar. We've had people leave here, ask people who've been here for a while, and become Jehovah's Witnesses. I wouldn't tell you a lie. No, they hate that Bible. I hate this Bible. I don't like it. So I got to find some way to get around it to accommodate what I like, so I won't have to be accountable to that word. And I'm going to find my... See, water will run until it finds an equilibrium. You're going to keep moving until you find something that's compatible with you. Guess what? The real gospel don't never have you feeling comfortable. Every time you get comfortable, the real gospel is going to stir you up. Whenever you try to settle down and say, finally, I found peace. And the Lord now left me alone. Ain't no real problems in my life. Guess what? He's going to stir you right back. He's going to stir you up. And every time you try to settle down, he's going to stir you up. You know why? Because he don't want you to have a continuing city here. Because he knows this is a damned place he's going to burn up. And when you try to settle into it and find a comfort zone, he's going to stir you up again. Why you think your kids act so crazy, and your husband and wife act crazy, and your job is crazy? He don't want you to have no comfort. He don't want you here. He's not going to let you settle in here and be comfortable. He's going to keep stirring it up and stirring it up and stirring it up. And every time you think, finally, he's going to stir it up. So my thing is, I don't even look for no comfort no more. I'm looking, where's the next battle? Where's the next conflict? Where's the next mess so I can get into it? You got to live like that. You got to actually embrace and love war. This thing is for warlords. It's for those that embrace and love the fact we are a fighting force behind enemy lines and don't nobody like you here. Jesus said, if they hated me, they are going to hate you. The servant is not above his master. It's good that the servant be like his master. You got to be like your Lord. They crucified Jesus outside of the camp. The synagogues rejected Jesus. The Pharisees and Sadducees and religious leaders reject Jesus, just like they do today. Church folk don't like Jesus. You better get that straight. Religion and church is not Jesus. It's an institution divined by Satan to constrain those that are trying to get to Christ. He divined and designed this mess to stop folk from getting to Christ. Roman Catholicism is a multi-billion dollar empire. They could feed everybody on this planet 10 times over. How you got all these starving people? They got commercials on TV with dried up, emaciated skin and bone children saying, save the children. Roman Catholicism got enough gold in the Vatican to feed everybody on church in the world 10 times over. So how in the world are you talking about? You a church that represents God with all those billions of dollars and people starving to death when you could be shipping in food by the plane load anywhere on the planet. Yeah. Why? It's evil. It's satanic. All these denominations, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, Episcopalian, how could you have a starving person on the planet? That's impossible. Unless you're looking at evil. You see UNICEF and Save the Children and all these organizations? Go check the CEO salaries of these organizations. $600,000, $700,000. You talking about feeding folk. What you need a $600,000 salary for? While the kid's starving to death with his belly bloating and skin and bones. See, if you don't take care of the poor, You're cursed. The autopsy of a dead church. I just showed you how dead religion is. For you to live, for you to be saved, you got to come out from amongst them, touch not the unclean thing, and under those conditions, God will receive you unto himself and be unto you a God, and then you will be his people. You got to come out from amongst them. And the them are the religious crowd. The false church, the dead church, has to be left behind. Let's look at an autopsy of the dead church to see what it's made up of and why we must separate from it. Look at Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16, the autopsy of a dead church. You know, an autopsy is performed by a forensic laboratory. Who's that going to be a forensic side? Is that you, Kennedy? She's going to be there cutting up cadavers and stuff, cutting up dead bodies and plucking out hearts and kidneys and stuff and draining blood out of stuff. And you're going to do all that? Oh, I'm just going to be taking pictures and stuff. I ain't going to be touching nothing. I'm going to be a forensic photographer. See, you describe the stuff and you think, they do all that? Nah, I'm going to change my major. I didn't know, you know. But see, you got to examine a corpse to see what killed it. We got a dead church laying out here by the side of the road. Let's see what killed it. Look at Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Ezekiel 16, verse 49, the autopsy of a dead church. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Neither have Samaria committed half of thy sins, but you have multiplied your abominations more than they, and have justified your sisters in all thine abominations which you have done. You also, which has judged thy sisters, bear thine own shame for thy sins, that you have committed more abominable than they. They are more righteous than you. Yes, be you confounded also and bear thy shame in that you have justified thy sisters. So look at this. The autopsy of a dead hull of a church. The first thing wrong with it. Sins of Sodom are in it. And the first sin is pride. Lifted up, proud, can't tell them anything. You know, the worst person you'll ever see in your life is somebody just getting saved and thinking they know about this, but they don't. The Bible says, don't place a novice in leadership, lest they be lifted up in pride and fall into the snare of the devil. See, folks tend to think they know what they don't know based on the limited knowledge they have. You're born again into this huge metaphysical spiritual world governed by all kinds of entities. But because the entities are invisible, what people try to do is they try to access more knowledge, and they think that knowledge acquisition makes them somebody that has authority and knows what they're talking about, like they went and got a university degree. Notice how folks that want to debate and argue with you will go to seminary and get a doctorate. And then they take all that seminary junk and pile it on top of you, thinking this makes them some kind of an astute, learned theologian that knows God. Knowing junk about God does not mean that you know God. If Jason wrote a book about himself and I read it, I still don't know Jason. I read the book that he wrote, but I don't know him personally. See, unless you know Jesus personally, you don't know Jesus at all. You just know about him. And the very impetus of being proud is to know about him without knowing him. Because then you spew out all this vomit on people based on head knowledge, because you did not want to sit down somewhere and be taught not God's knowledge, but be taught him personally. You see, when somebody knows God, they can introduce you to God. That's why it's important who you listen to, because everybody talking about the word don't know God. The Bible says the Israelites saw his works, but Moses knew his ways. He knew God intimately, so he can tell you all about God. He can tell you what God don't like. Notice how people who don't understand this don't understand why you can know what's appropriate in any situation. I can tell somebody what God don't care nothing about. Well, how do you know? Because I know him. I can tell what he don't like about you. I can tell what he likes about you, because I know him and what he likes. I know his taste. If you cook dinner for Jesus, what would you make tonight? A little fish, maybe a little baked potato, salad. See, most folk, though, what I don't know. What did I tell you? Jesus wasn't drinking in wine. He was called a wine bibber. But he was talking about too much grape juice. See how stupid that is? See, logic got to come into play with this thing, man. Religion will refabricate the Bible based on pride. You see, the reason why people think like that is because they're proud. They want to make it so tight around your neck that you got to be exclusively obedient to what they say about it. They don't know Jesus and what he did and what he likes or doesn't like through intimate time spent with him. They fabricate ideas in their minds so you can be drawn to them. The Bible says they try to exclude you that you might wander after them. That's the nature of pride. That's what membership to some organization does. You see how some people are proud of where they go to church? I'm a world changer. They say, oh, you go to that dump? Because they want you to be, what, enamored with, caught up in it like they said something big. They'll say where they go to church and then name the pastor and the first lady. I go to Faith Tabernacle where the pastor is the Honorable Dr. Brothers, with his, the first lady, Mrs. Joycelyn Brothers, and their two kids. Look, nobody care about all that junk, but it's pride talking. I follow Farrakhan.
That's pride talking.
See, pride, man, is an ugly creature. That thing will have you out here, man, putting faith in stuff that's going to destroy you and knowing you're right. The Bible says, if that light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? It's nothing worse to believe a lie and believe you're right about it. And can't anybody tell you anything? Talk to a Hebrew Israelite. Talk to a Jehovah's Witness. They come to your front door. Look how proud they are about it. They think they know, and they're trying to educate you as a moron. So you don't understand and you don't know. That's pride doing that. There's no energy from you to make them into what you are. All the energy comes from them to make you into what they are. See, when you really know Jesus, you proclaim the gospel, but you don't bear energy in you to make somebody believe it and try to be what you are. I just tell the unadulterated flatline truth, you take it or leave it. Because you're not trying to conform people to you. The truth stands all by itself, whether or not you believe it. It's like Ripley's. Believe it or not. You just lay the food on the table. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You don't bear the energy of proof in trying to make somebody believe something with the real gospel. If you do, you're proud. The Bible says knowing nothing. See, that's why pride is one of the first sins in a dead church, in the church in Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread. Got too much stuff. You're fat. You eat all the time. You're full of bread, full of resources. Man, you got so much junk, it's choking you to death. You got so much stuff. Closet looking like a department store. You can sell stuff out of your closet and probably get rich. Looks like a department store. Got enough pair. You just got 2 feet and 5,000 pairs of shoes. And the first thing you say when you're going somewhere, I got nothing to wear. You got nothing. See, everything is old to me. While folk don't even have a t-shirt. You can go to Africa, people don't have a t-shirt to put on. And you look in a closet full of clothes and say, you got nothing to wear. God hates that. He despises that. That's ingratitude. That's unthankfulness doing that. And that fullness of bread is strangling people to death because it'll make you just spin on non-essentials and just want more, more, more. The Bible says the eye is never full of seeing and the ear is never full of hearing. Always trying to see and hear something new. Get more. At some point, man, you got to turn those switches off and be complete in Him. And Paul said what? I'm content. With or without, I'm content. You got to get there. So you won't just keep hoarding stuff. You ever seen that TV show, Hoarder? Got so much junk in the house, just buying, going to the store and buying more stuff. Buying skillets and all kinds of, got 75 vacuum cleaners and going to get more, about 25, 30 pillows and, you know, got 700 blankets and the stuff just stacked up in the living room and all in the dining room on the tables. That's a spirit. A hoarder. You said, why you got all this stuff? Well, I'll tell you later. Let's run to this rummage sale because this is a sale. I gotta get some tires. I got 75 sets of tires. I need another set. That's a demon. It's a hoarder. Can't walk past a piece of apple pie without, let me have a piece of that. What's that you eating? Let me have a piece. Can't get past a sandwich. Just can't make it. You walk past it, your hand just go back to the sandwich. Give me a piece of that bologna sandwich. That's a demon. Smelling bread. It's a bakery around here. So I smell some fresh bread. What's that smell? That's some bread. That's some bread up in here. You got bread in your pocket, but they smell it all. You got bread in that pocketbook? Yeah, this old bologna sandwich ate 3 weeks ago. You want a piece of it? Yeah, let me have a piece of that. Crazy. That's a demon. You can't make it past a piece of cake. You can't get past a rib. You got to have a piece of that.
What's that on your plate? Mm-hmm. You finished eating that? You finished with that? Yeah, I'm through with it. I'm going to throw it out. No, don't throw it out. Don't throw it out. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Give me some water over here. Give me some white bread. That little piece of rib. I'm going to finish out them ribs. Don't throw. It's a sin to throw away food. You demon possessed. You're a hoarder. You're a glutton. The Bible says you'll be overcome by surfeiting, which is overeating. You don't believe me? Get out of the shower. Stand in front of the mirror naked and look at you. See all that? Blah, blah, blah. When you ain't got that stuff to strap on tight, the whole thing, it just blah, 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 walking through the blah, 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 blah. Then you put all that stuff on it, stuff it all in there, and you walk in and it's, oh, you got a nice figure. Yeah, you let that rubber band loose and watch it. That'll be going out like Flobo, the Flobo man. See, that's the real you. This is what people see out here, you know, but that ain't the real you. And everything fake nowadays, your nails, your hair, your toenails, your eyebrows, your eyelashes, man, did you have anything on you that's real, authentic? Booty pop draws, silicone in your breast. Now they got stuff to go in your calves and make your legs big. Told you guys, you married this woman, thought she was a fine, voluptuous woman. Got on that honeymoon and going to consummate that marriage. She started taking that stuff off. Taking off the booty pop draws, taking off all that old fake breast implant stuff, taking off that wig. He had married a 93-year-old toothless man. Standing at the altar, looked like a vivacious, beautiful Gina Lola Brigida, Raquel Welch. He got back to the hotel room, a snaggletooth 93-year-old man. I tell you, boy, you better be careful what you meet out here at these clubs, boy. Because everybody you think is ain't. It's too much fake stuff out here. And some of these dudes you think are dudes ain't no dudes. You got women with full beards now. Pump full of testosterone. Got muscles. Everything. You know, I done got married to, I met this fine dude I married. Man, I can't wait to get with the Joker. Man, we done got married. And he got the same plumbing you got when you get down to the room. And you sitting there looking at him like, you be froze, just be petrified right in the room. Close your mouth for a fly flying in your mouth. You done ruined this time. You done messed up. You got a marriage life and everything on you too. You got papers on you. That thing will be telling you, I got papers on you too. You can't be leaving me. Y'all better stop playing with this thing, man. This thing dangerous out here. For real. Fullness of bread. An abundance of idleness. Got too much idle time. The Bible makes a plan. You shouldn't be idle. You should put your hands to something. A little laziness sitting around sleeping. The Bible says it's going to lead to what? Poverty. Idleness of time. When you stay idle physically, your mind will begin to atrophy and you'll have an idle mind. Notice how some people can't even think for themselves. They can't do jobs that require thought. They ask a question. You think I need to, what you think I'll do next? You think I should, what you should do is pick up your stuff because you fired. Because we need thinking people here. When you don't think what you don't use, biologically, you'll lose it. If you don't use your mind, you're going to lose your mind. You got to learn to think. God gave you a mind and a brain to think with. You know, your mind engages your brain to use it. Your brain is physical. Your mind is spiritual. I can perform brain surgery and take his brain out of his head, but I can't take his mind out of his head because I can't put my hands on it. So that's where the spirit meets the physical. Can't you see everything is in that control center of the mind and brain interactively? If you damage the brain, guess why you can't do anything? Because your mind don't have nothing to engage. The clasp has been destroyed. You can't link from the spirit to the natural to have your body do something. So you got to keep your brain engaged with things that are productive. So you have a strong linkage between your mind and brain. When you start getting docile and sit up under Hitler to be programmed by Hitler to only obey his commands, now you become a brain-dead dummy sitting in church believing everything the preacher says because you don't think. Anybody that's teaching you a valid doctrine is going to engage your mind and brain to have to think. You can only preach somebody so far, then they got to be able to think. Critical thinking skills cannot be totally taught in an institution. They'll train up your mind. They'll condition your thinking. But, man, when you get practicum, you got to put that teaching to work. If you're going to teach somebody something, if I teach Stephanie something, it's doing no good until practicum proved that she got it for herself. You can't preach nobody. You can't teach somebody to cast out devils. You can show them. You can show them in the Bible. Until they cast out a devil, it's all theory. I don't care how factual something is. It's all theoretical until what? You do it yourself. Everything in the Bible is a theory until you do it yourself. If you don't do it yourself, it may be true, but it ain't true for you. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. You sit around and never challenge yourself to do anything. Have you written a book? Have you written a poem? Have you written any kind of a term papers? Or have you ever sat down and thought up anything? Have you created anything? Do you know how to draw? Have you been to art school? You know how to do any computer programming? Is there anything you can put your hands on and point to that you created? Have you started a business? Have you done anything with your mind? Or have you been docile your whole life following folk around like one of the people off of the Walking Dead? Just laying around like a zombie, never challenging your mind. It's getting welfare, food stamps, handouts. That's what that mess does. It makes your mind idle. Then you're mad. You know, they cut back on my food stamps. They cut back on my, you know, they cut out welfare. You know, they got rid of Section 8. What you going to do? I don't know. I just got a third grade education. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for black people to have institutions of higher learning, even HBCUs have been available to get education, and still to walk around brain dead with no education, a moron smoking crack and dope and laying up between some girl's legs, singing Lil Wayne, walking down the street. With all these educational institutions around now, and you didn't even get one. You know, you can matriculate through the colleges, and never buy in and use them instead of letting them use you. Anything the devil sets up can be used without it using you. That's why the Bible says to do what? Be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a little dove. You got to know how to use the system and not let the system use you. You got to be able to move and shake in the middle of this, man. The Bible says the children of darkness are wiser in their generation than the children of light. Because we don't let God get these minds under control to engage this arena and use it like it should be used. Jesus gave a parable. You remember he talked about talents? He says all these talents were given out. And see, the first guy comes back and brings something back with interest. So interest can't be evil because Jesus used interest as an example. He multiplied what I gave him with interest. But you just buried the talent and I got nothing back from it. That's evil. Your mind should be functioning just like every other part of you. Your brain should be functioning at a high level because you challenge it. You should always be learning something new. Did you not know that you can read every book on this planet if you live long enough? That's scary how limitless your mind is for real. You can load your mind with data forever because it's spiritual. You can get every degree offered on this planet if you live long enough. You can become a doctor, then a lawyer, then an undertaker, then you can become a physicist, then you can become a nuclear scientist. You can get every degree they offer in a university if you live long enough. And your mind will just keep ingesting the data. You could be fixing cars. You never always have a job. Because I have about 785 specialties. And I have a doctorate in every one of them. You'd be the most employable person on the planet. Because your mind is limitless. How many books have you read? You can keep reading books forever. Limitless.